Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Scott Kaplan on CBS Sports Radio.
What is going on, everybody? Yeah, Scott Kaplan back in for Jim Rome. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. What is happening to all the clones around the country listening on radio, to everybody who's watching on CBS Sports Network, to all of my radio listeners in Southern California, my great friends down in San Diego who listen daily on 1090, to my circle of trust, all my listeners in LA on 710, the Sedano and Cap community. Glad to have everybody along here on a Thursday afternoon. You know, Jim gets a lot of vacation. Jim takes a lot of vacation. Jim called me after the last time I hosted the show and he said, "Hey, Kaplan." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Did you go into my radio studio wearing a pair of shorts, hosting the Jim Rome Show wearing shorts?" And I said, because I thought about lying, I was like, maybe I should tell him no, I didn't. But I know that it was caught on video and I know that he was monitoring the whole situation from Wisconsin. So I admitted it. I said, "Yes, Jim, I was wearing shorts and I was wearing flip-flops." And he said, "Why would you do such a thing?" And I said, "Because I wanted to be TV professional up top. I wanted to be radio casual down below." And it was hot AF in Southern California at the time. So I went for it. And Jim said to me, "In 30 years of hosting this show, I have never one time worn a pair of shorts. So maybe you should not do that again." And I thought to myself, wow, here I come. I'm back today. Maybe I should rock some shorts. But I didn't. I mean, come on. I mean, out of respect to the king of sports radio, I was like, all right, I'm not even going to stand up and show you. Yes, I promise you, I am wearing pantalones today. I am not wearing shorts. But I will tell you this, as we just get on the air, and we got a lot of stuff we want to get to today, here's where my mind's at. Yes, I want to talk about Aaron Judge and getting to 61 home runs last night. We'll definitely get there. And Casey Stern, that's my baseball analyst, Casey Stern will be here, and we'll talk to Casey about that. I definitely want to talk about Miami and Cincinnati tonight and the kickoff of week four around the NFL. We'll get there. Andrew Brandt is going to be by. Jim Nance will be here coming up in this early hour. So stay tuned for a lot of NFL talk. My mind is set on some college football coming up this weekend. My man Yogi Roth is going to be by. And as we get ourselves set for week four around the NFL, Dr. David Chow is going to stop by and we're going to talk a lot about injury issues around the league, particularly around Tua and this game tonight between Miami and Cincinnati. But before we get started, I want to tell you guys, I have this like recurring nightmare all the damn time. And it's always about the same thing. I have this nightmare about being late to everything. And so because I have this nightmare, I always try and be extra early to stuff. The nightmare that I always have is I'm playing college football and the game is going on and I'm not at the game. And I'm supposed to be the starter for my team, you know? And I get to the game. It's like, I don't know, 2-3 minutes into the third quarter. I rush into the locker room. I get my uniform on. I come out to the sideline. I say, "Coach, I'm here. I'm finally here, coach. I'm here." And the coach looks at me and he goes, "Hey, moron, we don't need you anymore. You showed up late. Take the uniform off. Get out of here." So I have this whole thing about being late. Last night, I was in this crazy, crazy deep sleep. And there's that nightmare. I'm going to show up late to the Jim Rome Show. And in this dream that I was having last night, and it's super vivid for me, I went out on a bike ride, which, and by the way, my bicycle is hanging in my garage because I haven't been on my bike because since COVID, the PCH highway is just littered with a bunch of amateurs who don't know how to ride bikes, and it is freaking dangerous out there. So I had this dream last night. I'm on my bike, and I'm riding along, and thank you, Alvy, and here come all these riders at me. And I know I'm on the right side of the road and they're on the wrong side of the road. And we hit each other head first. And now I'm down. And I'm giving these guys a hard time. And I'm going, "Yo, Yo, what are you guys doing, man? You guys are on the wrong side of the road. And I notice that they're all wearing team jerseys with my favorite charitable organization called the Challenge Athletes Foundation. And so I take my phone out and I start taking pictures of these guys like I'm going to tell on them, like I'm going to tattletale on these guys. Do you know who these guys are? They were riding on the wrong side of the road. So now, again, remember, this is all about being late. So I go ahead, I start taking pictures of these dudes, and now I got to get back on my bike because I look at my watch and I'm like, I have 1 hour until the Jim Rome show starts, and I'm out here on my bike. I got to get home, get cleaned up, I got to drive, and I know it's going to take me a good hour to get to Jim's studios. So I realize now I've got a flat on the back of my I swear to God, this is all my dream last night. It's vivid, like I should write this all down. So I have a flat tire. I run my bike to a friend of mine's house. Nobody's home. His wife pulls up. She's got her kids. She puts me on one of those like stand-up pedego kind of bike thingies, you know, like an elliptical. And she's riding me up this hill. And her daughter's on the back of the bike. And the daughter is crying. I don't want to go. I don't. And I'm begging and pleading with an 8-year-old. Please, please. I'm going to be late to host the Jim Rome show. Please get me home. She's crying. I get off the bike. I go running to the house. I get there. I don't know what's going on. But somehow I believe that in this dream, I got to Jim's house. Now I'm in Jim Rome's house. And I need to borrow a shower because I got to shower and get to the show. And Jim is there and his family's there. And then don't ask me why, but Bob Dylan showed up. Okay. I don't really know why Bob Dylan showed up, but Bob had gifts for Jim and Jim had gifts for Bob. And all I knew was I needed to go into the shower and get cleaned up to get to the show. And there was this weird like litter box in Jim's bathroom. Yeah. Does Jim have a cat? I don't even know. But it was a mess. It was a complete... he does. He has a cat. And Jim's got this cat, and there's this litter box, and it's dirty and gross, and I'm disgusting because I just came off this bike ride, and I'm trying to get showered and cleaned up, and then I come out of the shower, and now there's like this weird party going on at Jim's house with Bob Dylan, and now my mom is there. And my mom starts taking pictures with Bob Dylan, and she's...
Your mom...
I'm going to say this. She's kind of like being inappropriate to Bob Dylan in a weird kind of a way. And somebody finally says to me, this guy finally says to me, he goes, Kaplan, why do you seem so out of sorts? What's going on with you today? And I look at my watch and I realize I've got 10 minutes until the Jim Rome show starts. And I'm not even anywhere near the show. So listen, I'm here. I'm happy to be here. I had a very, very bizarre dream about being late to the show, but we're here, we're on time, we're ready to roll. I think most of this is because on Tuesday night of this week, I was at a concert at the Great Western Forum. It's now called the Kia Forum. I mean, this is where the original Showtime Lakers played. And if you've been watching any of these shows, you know, from Winning Time on HBO Max to now the Legacy series on Hulu, you know, this is kind of like the original place where the Lakers, you know, called home before they moved into downtown LA. And I went to this concert on Tuesday night, this Foo Fighters Taylor Hawkins tribute concert. And dude, it's Tuesday night. I don't know about the rest of you guys. I generally don't go out on school nights. The concert started at 7 p.m. The concert ended at 1 a.m. And by the time I got out of the Forum, got into this little party bus that me and a bunch of friends had taken, and I had driven back down to San Diego, I got into bed on Wednesday morning. I had to actually think about what day. Wednesday morning, 4 a.m. 4 a.m. Had to be up early in the morning, 7 a.m. to get my daughter to school. So yesterday, I was a complete and utter disaster. And I think that contributed to these wild-ass dreams that I had last night. But here's what I can tell you. We're here. We're on the Rome show. We're on radio. We're on TV. We're rolling. We're ready to go. And we have got a great, great day planned for you. I'll tell you this much right now. By the end of today's broadcast, I think all of us are going to be much smarter sports fans as we go into our weekend because we got a lot of interesting people that are going to stop by and talk a lot about some really big stories. So last night, I'm sitting around because now I'm trying to like get my you-know-what together. And I'm watching this Aaron Judge situation. And if I'm being completely honest about it, you know, as someone who lives out west and works in San Diego and in Los Angeles, the fact of the matter is, I don't really see that much Yankees baseball, and I don't really go looking for Yankees baseball. But in particular, the last seven games or so where Aaron Judge was stuck at 60, that's when the chase for 61 and then beyond started to really pique my interest. Last night, when Judge hits this home run, I think one of the most interesting parts about it is not just that he hit number 61. And by the way, I had read this earlier today. I'm not so much into numerology, but Judge hits his 61st home run in 2022, tying Roger Maris's AL record of 61 home runs, which was set in 1961, which was 61 years ago from right now. Now, again, I'm not, I know it's a little cosmic, right? Think of it. Aaron Judge, 61st home run, tying Roger Maris's record of 61 home runs, which happened in 1961, which is 61 years ago from right now. Yes, if you're into numerology, you may know more about it than I do, but I did find that to be a little interesting, a little weird. So, listen, if you're a numerology expert, by the way, maybe you want to give a call. 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686 is the phone number. And clones, by the way, with all these great guests that I have coming up for you, there's still time for you today. I mean, there is plenty of time to get in between Jim Nance and Casey Stern talking baseball and Andrew Brandt talking football, Yogi Roth talking college football, and Dr. David Chow talking about NFL injuries. So, yeah, we got time for you today. And if you want to hit me up on Twitter, it's at Scott Kaplan, K-A-P-L-A-N, because that's always kind of something that irritates me a little bit, is when people misspell my name by calling it with a C rather than with a K. Because the other night when I showed up at the forum and I'm standing there trying to get my tickets at will call, I give them my driver's license. They're like, we got no tickets for you. I'm like, no, you do. I promise you, you got tickets for me. They're like, no, we don't have tickets for you. I'm like, yes, you do. And then they found out. They misspelled the name. They went from the K to the C. And then, you know, of course, that, you know, creates a lot of problems for me, you know. So we got plenty of time. You want to tweet me, at Scott Kaplan. You want to Instagram me, at Scott Kaplan. And if you're a clone around the country, come on in. Come on in. Get in today. So the thing about this Aaron Judge story, though, and I'll get into it. What I love about this story and I find so funny is how we, the media, we'll cover this not only from a look at the historical accomplishment that this guy just, you know, what he just accomplished, right. But also, I love the story of the Blue Jays fan out in left field who goes to make the catch. Bro, you got to lay out for that ball, okay? You're a grown-ass man, and you brought a baseball glove to a Major League Baseball game. Normal circumstances, I got a problem with that. Okay, I think that if you are a fan and you're a grown-up, you show up with no glove and you catch the ball barehanded. I'm a barehanded guy. I like the guy in the stands that's holding on to the baby in one hand and the beer in the other hand and has to like put the baby down for a second to make the grab. But I will grant you that on a night where you're hoping to catch history, go ahead, bring your mitt, bring your glove, work it in, put in some oil. I mean, dude, make sure that thing is ready to go. But the guy who's out there in left field last night, who is leaning over the rail, bro, you got to make that catch. You got to make that play. That's all I'm saying. People, the way it's covered is, this guy just lost millions of dollars. If he makes the catch, he's holding on to history. He's going to make millions of dollars. Really? Because to me, I'll tell you this right now, I don't care if it's 61. I don't care if it's 62. I don't care if it's Barry Bonds 73. I think the right thing and the class thing to do is go, I made the play. I'm going to meet Aaron Judge. I'm going to take pictures. I'm getting a signed bat, a jersey. I'm high-fiving mom, whatever it is. Give that ball back. So the way it's covered is that if this guy makes this catch, he's now got millions of dollars in his hands, and he doesn't make the catch, and up in smoke it goes. So, all right, we'll get into that. We got a lot of stuff that we want to get to today. Baseball's on the mind. The races that are going on around baseball. For me, I watched the Dodgers and the Padres, and I stayed up late last night, although I will admit it, You know, the Dodgers took a 1-0 lead in the top of the 10th. I had my phone next to my bed. I told you I was already completely like panicked about being on time. I fell asleep. But the Dodgers did win the game last night. We'll talk about that with Casey Stern. And the Mets and the Braves coming up this weekend is an absolute monster series that's going to decide that division. So we'll get to all of that coming up. We are officially underway. Thank you, Albie. I can hear some Foo Fighters. I was over at that Foo Fighters concert just the other night, Tuesday night till 4 o'clock in the morning. A tribute to Taylor Hawkins. The absolute greatest rock and roll event that I've ever been to, that I'll ever be to. I don't think we'll ever see anything quite like this again. I'll tell you more about it as the afternoon goes on. I've kind of set it all up for you. You know where my head's at. If you're listening on radio, happy to have you along. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network on TV, trying to look sharp today. My makeup is a whole lot better than my makeup yesterday. You can check my Twitter timeline. You'll get what I'm talking about. We are officially underway. Coming up, let's start talking about week 4 around the NFL. I'm Scott Kaplan, and this is The Jim Rome Show.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
What's going on, clones? Scott Kaplan in for Jim Rome today. Love having the opportunity to host the Jim Rome Show. Shout out to Garrett, Alvy, and crew, and Jim for having me in. KK, you know who you are. Really love being here today. Happy to be on the radio all around the country. Happy to be on CBS Sports Network. Alvy, turn that up for a quick sec. Shout out to Coolio and his family. Yesterday, we find out the news that Coolio dies at 59 years old. Bro, that is way too early, obviously. I don't know about the rest of you guys, man, but I'm now 52. I know you're looking on TV right now and you're going, there's no way. There's no way you're 52. 28, 29. It's the makeup, dude. It's the makeup. But 59, like I'm 52 now and anything like feels wrong. I'm like, oh no, something's wrong. Oh no, what's going on here? So it scares you, dude. Shout out to Coolio, his family, his fans, his legacy. Yeah, come on, one time, turn it up. Is everybody jamming like I am right now? A lot of people give me a hard time. They don't think I got good dance moves. I mean, they're kind of like bar mitzvah dance moves. I acknowledge that. But I'm feeling it. All right, some early reaction here to the jungle. Let's see here. This is from Wooden Laconic. I don't know how to say this. If you would have paired your shorts with a nice turtleneck, Jim would have been on board. Know your room, bro. Fair? Okay, that's a fair point. I mean, I was wearing the shorts last time I was hosting Jim Rome, and Jim called me and said, dude, really? For reals? Like, you really honestly wore shorts to my show? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Here's Steve in H-Town. Wore that adult in Toronto that showed up to a baseball game with a uniform and a glove but couldn't snag the line drive. Dude, that's what I'm talking about. Aaron Judge hits that home run. There is a grown man in left field wearing a Blue Jays uniform, and he's got his glove. And this was not something he had just gone and bought, man. You could tell this was the glove he had from his Little League days, because I still got mine too, man. I get it. Like, gloves are those things that you just never get rid of. That guy had that glove forever. That thing was fully broken in. There is absolutely no excuse for that dude in Toronto for not making that play. Look, I get it. We get a little older. We're not as flexible. Maybe we didn't go through proper calisthenics and warm-ups, right? Maybe our belly's a little bit bigger. Maybe we've been pounding a couple of beers. And yeah, there's a rail right in front of us. But when you brought your glove and you got your seat in left field and your intention was to catch that ball, and here it comes. Oh my God, here it comes. And this was not some towering fly ball. This thing wasn't in the air for 6 seconds. It didn't have hang time, right? This thing jumped off the bat. The exit velocity was like 500 miles an hour. And this thing was coming at this guy, and this dude totally panicked. Just panicked. Didn't make the grab. I get it. Here's Canadian Hitman. If that had been a hockey puck, he would have caught it. Signed Canada. Yeah, you're right. I mean, we're all looking at the video right now. We're looking at the video on the television side of things. So if you're a radio listener, you'll have to come find us on TV. But here, let's take a listen to what took place last night in Toronto when Aaron Judge hit his 61st home run.
And the payoff.
There goes the deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 61. He ties Roger Maris for the American League single season record with 61 home runs. It's a two-run Judgian blast. Here comes the Judge. A two-run blast, and the Yankees take a 5-3 lead on number 61 for Judge.
You got to make that play, bro. That's all I'm saying. You got to make that play. I feel pretty good that I would have made that play. Now, of course, I'm saying that, but I'm sitting here. And I'm also the guy that thinks that grown men should not bring baseball gloves to baseball games. I think you should make the play with a bare hand. But I will say there is an exception to every rule. And if you think that you are in a position to catch a historic home run ball, I'll grant you, you could bring your glove. That's fine. But if you got your glove on and you got a uniform on and you're in perfect position, bro, you got to make that play. You got to lay out. There was a guy, do you guys remember a couple years ago? There's a couple. This is probably a long time ago. You remember the guy, there was a Chicago Bears football game, and there's a guy in the stands, and a field goal gets kicked, and the dude jumps out of the stands and catches the ball like in midair. Do you guys remember that? I mean, that's making a play, bro. That's making a play. This guy needed to make that play last night. He didn't get it done. And I'm still thinking about perhaps a numerology expert out there, somebody who can get into the cosmic side of what happened last night. Ooh, it's cosmic. Aaron Judge hits his 61st home run in 2022, tying Roger Maris's record of 61 home runs that was hit in 1961, and that was 61 years ago. And speaking of Roger Maris for a minute, before we turn our attentions into some football stuff, and Jim Nance is going to join us in about 13 minutes or so. Roger Maris's son.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Scott Kaplan on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, Scott Kaplan in for Jim Rome and getting set for Jim Nance, the lead play-by-play voice of the NFL on CBS. I don't want to waste any of Jim Nance's time, so I'm getting right to him. Jim, good afternoon. How are you?
Hello, my brother. How are you? Hello, friends. It's always, always a great pleasure to be on the radio with you because you are the best.
Well, I don't know. I'm kind of sitting in for the best right now. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we love Jim, but, you know, I have a very, very long-standing close friendship with you. So that at the moment is a tiebreaker. Romy and I have not had that kind of time together. So great regard for you. You know that. So let's get to it. What's up?
Well, let's start it off with this. I want to hear first and foremost, I'm sure you're prepping for your game this weekend, New England and Green Bay. What do you think? Are we gonna see the quarterback? Because, I mean, listening to Coach Belichick, it's just day by day, day by day, day by day. What do you know?
I know as much as you know. And probably I know as much as Mac Jones knows right now. So I'll put it this way. I have called more Belichick games than anyone, and I'm kind of proud of that because we are the AFC Network. So my last count, according to Stacey James, their extraordinary senior vice president of communication, is I'm now over 100 Belichick games, which is about 40 more than the next closest all time. And yeah, so all I can say is that when it comes to injuries, that's not something that they're going to give up a lot of information about that. And that's okay. You know, you kind of go with your hunches here. It sounded like it was a severe enough injury that it'll be Hoyer. It's going to be a tough assignment no matter who it is, whether it's Hoyer or whether it's Mac at quarterback, because you're going to come into Lambeau and you got a Green Bay team that just like a year ago stumbled week one and then started to kick things in gear and it coming off a big win at Tampa.
Jim, I'm curious how many, I don't know if you know this or not, but I mean, have you done a lot of Green Bay games? I can remember a game a few years ago because it was too damn cold in the stands. And I said, can I come up into the booth? and Green Bay was hosting at the time San Diego, but Have you had a lot of Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers over the course of the last, call it, 15 years?
Oh, yeah. You know, I started doing the NFL on CBS in 19, well, actually, here and there, a smattering of games in the 80s because I was the college football studio host. So I go back into the 80s. But in the early 90s, 91, 2, and 3, I did the second team at CBS behind Pat and John, Summerall and Madden. And then, of course, we were out of the NFL for a while. When we got back, I was in the studio. Short of it is, I've been calling the league game with Phil Sims and Tony since 2004, 2003. And you can pretty much bank on it's two a year. The league would give us two Green Bay home games a year. You know, AFC at NFC, most of the occasions. But like this one is, New England, we travel with the AFC team. So what would that be? Two times 19, I guess, something like that?
Yeah, so we're pushing 40.
I've been somewhere close to 40 times in Lambeau Field, and I've had a lot of them where it's been miserable weather. Like that one was kind of half sleet, half snow when the Chargers were in there, and you were bundled up in the back of the booth and crying like a baby.
Hey, I am fair weather, man. I mean, that's the way I am. I admit that. So as far as Green Bay goes, though, as you're watching them and you're researching and you're prepping for this game, pretty impressive last week the way they went down to Tampa and got it done. Now, look, I know Tampa's got plenty of injury issues, but still, to go on the road inside the conference against Tom Brady, it's an impressive win. I think people were kind of down on the Packers coming into the season because they lost Devontae Adams in the first week when Aaron Rodgers was looking around going, this is who you've given me to throw the ball to. But a nice recovery for the Packers here at 2-1. What do you see?
I first off, I think that's a testament to their defense last week. You know, they went out and took two guys in the first round with defense. And I know that the Bucs offensively aren't who they're going to be without Evans last week, without Godwin. You know, they were really thin, and that offensive line is a work in progress at Tampa. But still, to hold them to only field goals until the last minute of regulation and then withstand the two-point attempt, I think Green Bay has shored up that side. On the offensive side, Aaron is Aaron. I mean, there's physically, you know, he's a freak as far as arm talent and what he does on the field. I love watching him play. And then you got that tandem of Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. I mean, everybody would love to have those two. And yeah, they've got to develop the outside. It looks like Dobbs is coming along really quickly, a little faster than Watson. But, you know, Watson dropped on, like, the first play of the season, a 75-yard touchdown. Right. Had he caught it, he'd probably be in a totally different place through 3 weeks.
Yep.
The kid's got talent. He's got game. I think they're going to just be totally fine on the outside. And, you know, I think the playoffs are going to be, you know, back in it again. There'll be some pivotal games in Green Bay, and you know, one of these years, they've got to win these games at Lambeau Field in January.
Jim Nantz, the lead play-by-play voice of CBS Sports, is here. He'll be calling the game this weekend between Green Bay, who's hosting New England. Hey, Jim, just a couple of opinions. Let me get from you. What do you think, Miami and Cincinnati tonight? I am a Tua believer. A lot of injuries early in his career. Came into the league hurt. The spectacular comeback in week two against Baltimore. And as far as Cincinnati, the defending AFC champions had a lot of problems on the offensive line so far, and Joe Burrow's taken a lot of hits. What do you think about tonight?
Yeah, it's a good one. It's hard to say. I mean, it's kind of hard to imagine that Cincinnati's not going to rise to the occasion and fall to 1-3. I had them week two at Dallas. Now, no one saw that result coming with, you know, Cooper taking over for Dak in the first game immediately after the thumb injury to Prescott. They've got issues on the offensive line. That, you know, again, they're a work in progress. On the Miami side, I love what Tua's doing because I've always loved the guy, the athlete that people gang up on and tell you that the guy can't get it done. Yep. I mean, in the history of my 40-year history at CBS, nearly 40 years, the number of athletes who have been dogged and publicly flogged and people saying they are not going to, he's a failure, he's going to be a flop. And you know, they end up rising above all of that and becoming, you know, a truly great player. I'm not saying he's great yet, but he has now withstood an onslaught of people second-guessing what they were doing, his ability to play in this league, and his 6-touchdown performance, including 4 in the fourth quarter against Baltimore, I think put an end to all those bandwagon second guessers And we'll see tonight. You know, they've got to travel, and you know, the whole Thursday thing. I called Thursday Night Football for 4 years, so I know what it feels like. It's I don't know. If Miami wins this game, man, look out. I mean, to be 4-0, wow.
Yeah.
And some of these wins they would have had at Cincinnati, at Baltimore, beating Buffalo. Whew.
Right.
I mean, it might send Tony and I might be spending some time at Joe Stone Crab this.
Well, hey, listen, the hype train was all on Kansas City and Buffalo, and then Miami beat Buffalo last week, and Indianapolis, I feel like, kind of shocked the world because they were beat 24-0 the week before by Jacksonville, and for them to come back and beat Kansas City, I'd love to hear what you think. Kansas City is at Tampa. We just talked about Tampa a second ago, and Kansas City losing that game. I mean, what a battle of these two star quarterbacks. What do you make of this one, KC at Tampa Bay?
I like Kansas City in this game. Of course, we don't know where it's going to be played. That's still to be determined, whether it's Tampa or Minneapolis. But I did that game last week in Indianapolis. Special teams. Of course, they have one of the legendary special teams coaches of all time at KC, but Sky Moore made a couple of really big blunders early in that game and set up the Colts with some positivity early, and it was a game changer. And then Chris Jones made a really fatal mistake for the Chiefs in that game by getting hit with an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. It was at the point where they were going to have to punt the football and maybe never would have seen the football again. So, you know, that's the NFL. That's why we don't know what's going to happen with Green Bay and New England, regardless of who starts. But we went into that game. Everybody's telling us, why are you guys at that game? That's going to be a terrible game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it ended up being an upset. And, you know, Matt and the Colts put together this 8-minute, 14-second drive, aided by the penalty on Jones, and they beat KC. I expect KC's going to come back, and I just don't think Tampa's there yet right now. I think they will be eventually, but I think KC is really good. I think they're better than they were a year ago. They have definitely improved themselves on defense. They're faster. They're very young. They've got 7 guys on defense. Now, they don't make the game day roster, but they've got 7 rookies that are going to be a part of this defense this season. And it's a completely different kind of vibe around KC with this young, fast, hungry bunch. And I think KC will be right there when it's all said and done at the end of the year, and maybe even hosting for the 5th year in a row the AFC Championship game.
Jim Nance, I got one more for you before we roll. I really love the fact that I've hit on all the games that you've done so far and all the teams that you've seen, but you following Denver is at the Raiders this weekend, and I got to say, for all the criticism Denver's received, they are 2-1, and the Raiders desperate right now for a win at 0-3. I don't know if you've had a chance to take a look at these guys or maybe just have like a global opinion. We got about a minute and a half to go, but what do you make of this one?
It's totally a global opinion because I have not had either one of these two teams, and we know the Raiders are the only winless team. Never would have guessed that. They could have won all 3 of their games, and that's what's really frustrating. The Arizona game was a complete debacle to lose that one. But, you know, the Cleveland could be saying the same thing about the game against the Jets.
Right.
I mean, the drama that's come out of this league the first 3 weeks of the season, it's outrageously brilliant and great. I kind of, in this spot, would go with the desperate team. I don't normally make picks, but I think there's a lot of talent at the Raiders. I am a little bit at a loss as to why, in one game, Davante Adams has 2 catches. And, you know, you got Waller there. And, you know, I know Renfro got banged up in the Arizona game. But there's some talent. There's definitely talent there. I've known Josh McDaniels forever. And I just can't imagine them being 0-4.
I know. It's hard to believe. Hey, Jim, great to be with you. Thank you for doing this. Have an amazing broadcast this weekend. And I look forward to catching up with you again real soon. Thank you, Jim.
Anytime, my man. It's always great to talk. And I hope our paths will cross soon.
Yeah, me too. Jim Nance stopping by. This is Scott Kaplan hanging out on the Jim Rome Show. I'm going to get to your tweets. Clones, I'm ready to take your phone calls. And we're going to turn in a different direction and talk a little baseball. Coming up, Scott Kaplan in for Jim Rome. And this is the CBS Sports Radio Network.